So the IMF Global Financial Stability Report look at risk in global financial markets.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. And in this program, we take a look at how some current economic trends could pose a risk to financial stability.
We found that debt owned by firms could rise to 19 trillion. That's a pretty large number. My name is Fabio Nadalucci. I'm a deputy director in the Monetary and Capital Markets Department at the IMF.
The Global Financial Stability Report tries to shine a light on weak spots in the global economy that could amplify the impact of a shock. Fabio Nadalucci heads the team of economists who write the report. He says this GFSR, as it's known, shows higher vulnerabilities in the corporate and non-bank financial sectors. So how would you characterize the state of the global economy these days?
So the pace of economic activity remains weak. There's been a deterioration in business sentiment. There's weaker momentum in manufacturing. There are rising trade and geopolitical tension. So overall, the risks to the global economy are clearly tilted to the downside. This has prompted global central bank, including the ECB and the Federal Reserve here in the United States, to ease monetary policy so that now approximately 70% of countries by GDP have actually changed their stance on monetary policy. And as a result, investors have reassessed the outlook for monetary policy, leading to an easing of financial conditions.
So just to be clear, monetary policy meaning interest rates, right?
Interest rate, and to make it a little bit more complicated, also unconventional monetary policy, so the size or composition of the balance sheet of the central banks.
And so one of the concerns that's stated in the report is loose financial conditions. What do you mean by loose financial conditions, and why should we worry about that?
Okay, so maybe we can clarify what financial conditions are first. Mm-hmm. So we use financial condition indices to summarize what are the conditions in financial markets. So those include interest rate, valuation, corporate debt, or equity prices, house prices. And essentially, loose means accommodative, means something that is actually supportive of growth. And relative to the April financial stability report, so 6 months ago, financial conditions have eased even further. And this is particularly true in the United States and the euro area. And in the U.S., it's actually interesting because the financial conditions in the U.S. are easy by historical standard, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve is one of the, actually the only one, large central bank that actually attempt to normalize monetary policy. So it's been a very unusual monetary policy cycle in the U.S. The easing of financial condition in the short term, it's a positive because it's helped contain downside risk to growth and also has been helpful to support the global economy. However, loose financial condition comes at a cost that encourage investors to take on more risk. And so the risk here is that they fuel a buildup of financial vulnerabilities in the medium term that could put growth at risk in the medium term.
So low interest rates are good for business, but they come with some risk.
Exactly. So it's when I say it's supportive economic growth, means that the cost for households, for example, in terms of mortgage rates, as well as cost of capital for firms, is lower. So that should encourage economic activity. However, these rates moving down means that now there are about 15 trillion of bonds with negative yield in the world, or about 30% of government bond in advanced economy. And moreover, market expect 20% of government bonds in advanced economy to have negative yields all the way out to 2022.
So these low interest rates are also creating other issues. And you say in the report that the search for yield is putting the non-banking sector in particular on a dangerous path. So remind us what that sector is and why we need to worry about that.
Right. So what we mean by non-bank financial intermediaries, and we exclude insurance in the report, we treat them separately, those are essentially intermediaries that provide a number of financial services, including credit, leverage, liquidity services, and they include as a group investment funds, money market funds, broker-dealers, finance companies, securitization structure, and so on. Very low interest rates have prompted this what we call institutional investor also. And in the report, we focus on insurance company, pension funds, and asset manager to reach for yield and take on riskier and less liquid securities. Now, why do we care? Because they could become a shock amplifier. Essentially, if there is a shock, similarity in portfolios, holdings of less liquid assets, in case of asset sale, they could essentially amplify asset price moves, resulting from the shock, and so make essentially the impact of the shock bigger.
And so just how vulnerable is that sector at the moment in comparison to other times in recent history?
Right. So we find that about 80% of economies with systemically important financial sector, in about 80% of these economies, non-bank financial intermediaries have high or elevated vulnerabilities. That's about the same level that we saw during the financial crisis about 10 years ago.
And so you mentioned pension funds there. Should people be worrying about their pension funds?
Okay, so the report does not focus on the solvency of pension funds. So we're not discussing whether people will receive their pensions 20 years down the road. What we highlight, though, is that pension funds have increased their exposure to what we call alternative assets. So private equity, real estate, those are much less liquid holdings. And so these holdings could essentially constrain the traditional role that, for in this case, pension funds play when there is distress in markets, and they would become a stabilizing force, but this could become essentially a constraint for this institution versus to play their role in case of stress.
I see. So there have been a couple of recurring themes in the past couple of GFSRs, one being trade tensions and the other being Brexit. Where do those two issues stand in this report?
Okay, so let me reiterate once again that we don't forecast shocks. We're not in the business of forecasting shock. We don't want to forecast what the next shock could be. What we focus is financial conditions. We have just discussed those, financial vulnerability, some of this, and then the distribution of GDP. There are, of course, a number of events that could trigger a sharp, sudden tightening of financial conditions. So, very loose now, what are the possible triggers? And those are two triggers that we consider. So, a crystallization of political / policy risk, a no-deal Brexit, an intensification of trade tension, that could be another one. We also highlight geopolitical events that could lead to a reversal of capital flows to emerging markets, as well as possibly a reassessment of the outlook for monetary policy by investors, considering how much rates have moved down over the last 9 months.
And another recurring theme, an issue that hasn't disappeared since the last time we spoke 6 months ago, is corporate debt. And that was slated as a big concern 6 months ago. Have you seen improvement on that front?
Right. So our assessment was that corporate vulnerabilities were elevated in a number of systemically important countries. What we have done, particularly in this GFSR, we took a deep dive in 8 major economies, and we found that firms are taking on more debt, and their ability to service debt is weakening. So we consider a scenario essentially what we call a material economic slowdown. It's about half as severe as the global financial crisis. And we found that debt owned by firms unable to cover interest expenses with earnings, what we call debt at risk, could rise to 19 trillion, which is about almost 40% of corporate debt in these countries. That's a pretty large number.
Indeed. And emerging markets, and especially frontier markets, are taking advantage of willing and very motivated investors thanks to low interest rates in advanced economies. How do you see that playing out in the medium term?
Right. So low interest rate in advanced economies coupled with strong global risk appetite have clearly supported capital flows to emerging markets. Now, these external factors have led to a tightening corporate bond spread. We found, for example, that about a third of emerging market bonds are overvalued relative to fundamentals, at least based on the models we use, and also help to boost borrowing, spur issuance. And so we found the median external debt as a ratio of export has risen to 160% from about 100% in 2008. Wow. And in fact, there are even some countries where this ratio is above 300. And so the risk here is that if there is a tightening of financial condition for whatever reason, that could in some sense make it harder for this country to service their debt.
So what is there to fix and what should be at the very top of the to-do list?
I think the common theme of all this is that financial conditions are generally very easy, more so in some countries or jurisdictions than others, but are relatively easy by historical standard at this stage of the financial and economic cycle. Again, particularly in the U.S. and in the Eurozone. Now, the risk is that if there is a sudden sharp tightening in financial condition, this could unmask these vulnerabilities and also put pressure on asset valuation. So in some sense, policymakers are now facing a dilemma. On one hand, they want to keep financial condition easy because that's good in the short term. It could counter the deterioration in the economic outlook. On the other hand, they need to guard against a further build-up of financial vulnerabilities. So the question is, what tools can be deployed or developed, if there's a need to address the specific vulnerabilities that we have highlighted in this financial stability report. So starting with corporate debt at risk, stricter supervisory macroprudential oversight, that's what we suggest, including targeted stress testing of banks and prudential tools for highly levered firms. With respect to institutional investor, strengthen oversight and enhance disclosures, including step up efforts to address and mitigate leverage and other mismatches on balance sheet, for example, liquidity. And finally, with respect to emerging markets and frontier markets, prudent sovereign debt management practices and frameworks. So to sum up, financial conditions are still easy, especially so late in the cycle, and with financial vulnerability still building, policymakers should act quickly to avoid putting growth at risk in the medium term.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fabio Natalucci is Deputy Director of the IMF's Monetary and Capital Markets Department and oversees the writing of the Global Financial Stability Report. You can read the full report at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, look for us on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.